It was last night that Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. By the time we come to Jesus, there would have been four cups on the table, each representing one of the promises from Exodus chapter 6. The fourth and final cup is the cup of protection, of God promising always to watch over his people. This is the cup that Jesus refused to drink from. He said, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I drink it anew in the kingdom of heaven." He refused to drink for the cup of protection because he knew there was yet another cup, a fifth cup, a cup that he would have to face alone. And yet, as he contemplates facing this fifth cup alone, Scripture records for us that he takes his disciples out to a garden, and before going a ways further to pray, he says to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he invites them to pray for him. Going a little bit further, he falls to his knees and he says, "Father, if it's at all possible, take this cup, this last cup, this fifth cup, take it from me." The gospel writer Luke adds for us that his sweat became like drops of blood on the ground. What could shake our Savior so brutally that he would sweat blood and would be overcome with sorrow to the point of death? It is the fifth cup, the cup of God's wrath, spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, Hosea, and from Jeremiah. It spoke of a fifth cup, the cup of God's wrath, his judgment upon mankind for its sin and disobedience. Jeremiah, he says this of the cup of wrath. God instructs the prophet. He says, "Take from my hand the cup filled with the wine of my wrath." Then he says to him, "And make all the nations drink of it, including his nation, Israel." The effect is chilling. He says, "When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad." God's wrath would have to be poured out someday. God's judgment upon sin, upon disobedience, would have to be drank. Sometimes I wonder if we grasp the seriousness of sin. We live in it each day. We talk about it a lot. Perhaps we've become numb to the fact because it's just part of our everyday life. We know of our disobedience. We know of our sin, but do we grasp the seriousness of the sin? It destroyed God's perfect creation. It corrupted every facet of it. God hates sin. It is the opposite of who he is. God is holy. Now we are unholy. God is perfect. We are imperfect. You see, it's not as if God set down some rules and now he's all pouty because we don't want to play according to his rules. It goes much deeper than that. God hates sin because he hates what sin has done. God hates sin for all the pain that it's inflicted upon all of us. God hates sin because of the relationships that have been ruined. God hates sin because of the chaos that it wreaks in our world today. God says sin must be obliterated, destroyed forever. The punishment of sin is death. Scripture says to us, the wages of sin is death. I'm not talking about lay down, stop breathing, it's all over. It doesn't end there. God's word is clear. There is a life after this one. If we were to have to take the cup of wrath, the eternity that would await for us, Scripture describes it as a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, an eternity of torture and pain. God's wrath must be poured out. God is a just God and a righteous God. He says that sin must be eradicated. He declared that the punishment for sin was death. In his righteousness, in his justness, the punishment must, it must be laid out. He can't just dismiss it. It's too serious for that. He can't go against his very nature. So in righteousness and justice, the cup of wrath must be poured out. But as much as God is just and righteous, he is also merciful. If the cup of wrath must be poured out, then God will overflow with mercy towards his people. Consider the mercy of the Father. The mercy of the Father says that he will allow one to take the place for many. That just one has to drink the cup of wrath for all of mankind. But that one must be a human being, because it's human beings who are infected with sin. But no human being could stand the cup of wrath being poured out to them and survive it. So that one must also be God himself. In his mercy, he knows that the only one who can drink the cup is his very own Son, Jesus, who took on flesh and blood and became one of us, truly human, but also fully God. Consider the mercy of the Father, that when his son on bended knee cries out asking for the cup to be removed, answers no. No. And he hears his son from the cross asking, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And he turns his back on his son. And he listens as the last drop is drunk. And he dies. The Father lets the son die so that you can live. That's the mercy of the Father. That's the love of the Father. Consider the mercy of the Son. Jesus, who goes to the garden, and yes, he prays that if there's any way possible for the cup to be removed from him, he asks the Father to do so. He shows his humanity. He shows that he's shook down to the core at facing this cup of wrath and judgment. But he says, "Father, not what I want. Your will is to be done." As he leaves the garden, he is convinced that he must drink the cup of wrath. And so he is committed to the cause. When Peter draws his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant, Jesus looks at him in disbelief and he asks the rhetorical question. He says, "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" The answer is yes. I must drink the cup. And so Jesus, by choice, not by chance, is nailed to the cross. And there, the cup of wrath is poured out in all of its fury, in all of its judgment. And Jesus drinks it all in until the last drop. And he says, "It is finished. The work has been accomplished. One has drank for all." And so now, so many years later, we gather to remember that Jesus took our place and he drank the cup of wrath for us. And because he did, the cup is empty. And in just 3 days, the tomb will be as well. Amen. Would you stand and join me in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are a mighty and righteous God. You had every right to pour out your wrath on each and every one of us. But in your mercy, you let your Son take our place. Lord Jesus, we can never, never know or imagine the pain you endured for us, nor can we ever repay you for the gift that you have given to us and the mercy and love that you showered upon us by going to the cross willingly for us. Holy Spirit, would you dwell in our hearts? Would you show us the severity of our sin and the greatness of God's mercy and grace poured out on us this day so long ago? May we never, ever take it for granted, but deeply treasure what you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.